So we have an introductory shiur to the concept of the Shoel. You've been discussing some of the other Shomrim, and now the question is, what exactly is this guy, the Shoel, the one who borrows something? So, as we had previously been aware of, and I put it as the first of the Mar Makomos, we are familiar with the Gemara on Daf Tzadi Dalet Amud Beis. What was the context of that Gemara? Anyone remember? The context was, we're trying to figure out, the context was, right, what's more chamor, right, being on the hook, potentially, for kefel, or knowing that right away, you're already going to have to pay keren, the principal. And what was the Gemara's assumption? Excellent, that keren, even though it's less money, but it's certain. You're definitely going to have to, someone who has to for sure pay keren, the moment they claim something was stolen, that's a bigger chumrah than the possibility that if you get caught lying after having previously denied it, you'll end up paying double. That itself, by the way, I would say has psychological, spiritual, philosophical, a lot of implications to that concept. I think that's actually fascinating, but not for now. Once in that context, what's the Gemara's proof that paying keren is something associated with chumrah? And here's where the Gemara introduces Shoel, because the Gemara says, what's the din by Shoel?
That he gets hana for everything in the land.
Well, that's before that, you're half right. He gets hana for everything, therefore from everything, therefore he's the most chayiv, even on onsen. And what is his din? Is he karen immediately or kefil later? He's karen immediately. So in that context, this is a proof that karen immediately is more chomer. After all, everything about the shoel is more chomer. And since the shoel pays karen immediately, the fact that he has to pay it, that is indicative that is something that's more chamor. And as you said correctly, what's the famous phrase of the Gemara, as we've already seen, I'm sure, countless times in the last week and a half? What is the Gemara's famous formulation about the Shoel? Kol Hana'os Shelo. Okay? So, he gets all the benefit. There is a discussion, which we're not going to get into now, but I think I discussed with some of you in Seder in the last few days, when it says Kol Hana'os Shelo. So if you emphasize, I'm being cute about it, but to make the point, whether you like my cutesiness or not, do you focus on kol, or do you focus on shelo? By which I mean to say, is it have to be exclusive hana? There's a discussion about this. Maybe Rabbi Tarragon will discuss it in the future. I'm not sure. We will not do it today. What if he's getting all the hanos you typically associate with the shoel, but there's a situation where the mashil also gets some hana? So he's getting kol hanos, but it's not exclusively, it's not only shelo. The mash is also getting hana. Does that somehow less responsibility? Or do we say, no, it could be a win-win. I'm getting all my hana, I have responsibility because of that. The fact that you get a little hana, it might relate to the main issue we're going to get to, but either way, I'll have to leave something for Rabbi Tarragon. Okay, so anyway, that's just agav. Now, when we think about the shoel, there really is a very fundamental question, which I want to give you the highlights of, is just as we outline the basic structure of the sugya today. And that is the following. Typically, we've been discussing Shomer Sachar, Shomer Chinam, Socher. So usually when we imagine that person being chayiv to pay back, whatever the circumstances are, so generally something happened in the course of the Shemira, which makes him obligated. Right. And typically we think of it, let's think of Shomer Sachar or something like that, right? Let's say there was Pshia. So at that moment that the person didn't do a good job watching, that action was the Machayev. Right? Because he didn't watch well, therefore he's going to be obligated, he didn't watch it carefully, etc. One point which we need to stress at the outset, even though some Achronim do consider it, but it seems pretty much intuitive and impossible, therefore, to deny, I would say virtually, that about Shoel. Or at the moment that something happens, someone want to give me an example of an Ones, just so we could use for Shear as an example?
Lightning strikes,
okay. Very creative of you. So, maybe there's an idiom I once heard about that. Anyway, so let's say lightning strikes. So do we say, would it make sense to say that at that moment, some chisaron in my shmira, I didn't do the job exactly just right at the moment that when the lightning struck, therefore I'm chayev to buy you a new cow? Not likely, right? It's hard to imagine that being a coherent understanding, because after all, there is no chisaron in my shmirah when lightning strikes. We have a phrase, I'll borrow it for here, but we usually use it in other areas of halacha. But someone finished the sentence, onis rachmana patre. Right? If you have an onus, something that occurs to you that's completely beyond your control, you're generally exempt. Now, this might be used to explain why, let's say, for example, a person, Rachmana Litzlan, is missing an arm. So he can't put on tefillin. So every day there's an avera, he didn't put on tefillin? No. Onus Rachmana Patre. That'd be one example of the phrase. So here also, in a somewhat borrowed sense, we would say, you can't say that the Shoel is chayiv to pay because of the lightning. Onus Rachmana Patre. Well, I didn't do anything wrong. There's no coolant. It's not just a question of, well, we have a list of things, and you know, there's pretty good shmirah, there's perfect shmirah, there's worse shmirah, and now this guy, you know, he didn't do as good a shmirah as he could have. What do you mean? He did the perfect. He could have done the best shmirah, and the lightning still would have struck. So it can't be that, like Shomer Socher or Shomer Chinam or other things, that something happened where he either just wasn't responsible, or worse than that, he was negligent. Posheya, it can't be that, right? Because we're talking about being mechayev him even when he was completely the best shomer ever. So if it's not that, if the chi of your, let me try to make this point in a sequential way, so maybe if you think of it linearly, right? If we imagine a timeline from the moment he got the object to the time that the lightning struck. So typically, if I'm a different kind of a shomer, a regular shomer, when is the moment that I am chayev? Happened, the ganav came, I overworked, whatever the case is, right? I fed him the wrong food and he got sick. So what I'm saying is, it seems almost impossible to imagine that would be correct for Shoel. Because when the action happened, when the lightning struck, I didn't do anything wrong. Elamai, what must be? That we're talking about a chiv that kicks in not when the action happened, the damage occurred, I should say,
when he received the object.
But when he received the object. Adkan, just like point half, or maybe we'll just call it A. But now the question is, if the chiyav started, the chiyav kicked in when he got the object, well, what is the basis of that chiyav? So the answer is, kol hanah shelo, you know, read the Gemara. But of course, the real question is, what does that mean? Did you have a question?
Yeah, I think also in the case of the Shomer Sachar, you said in the case of Pineva, even if it's Onis, he's still Chayav. So what would be, at least according to some opinions?
Okay, so we'd have to ask that question about the Shomer Sachar too. Good. If you're Chayav and Onis, it can't be because of that moment. That moment can't be the trigger of your Chiyuv. Okay, so now, good. So whether that's true or not about Shomer Sachar, according to some opinions, could be, but that you're bringing exactly where I want to go to the next step. Excellent. Okay, so now the question is, if it's not X, so what is Y? And here we have two possibilities. Someone want to tell me what you think would be, I'll call this a simple explanation, even though I think the majority of Rishonim might not hold this way, but I would say this would be the simple explanation if I didn't know any better. Or I'll say it this way, whether I don't want to bias you if it's simpler or not, but what would be a way of formulating Shoel, despite its uniqueness, in a way that would make it most similar to the other Shomrim? How would you formulate the responsibility, despite what I just spent 2 minutes telling you, that it's so different, because you're even Chayav on Ones, what would be a way of formulating in a way that would make it more similar?
That it's really just normal showing, except that also announce him because he's getting so much benefit that he's just.
Stop. But think about what the next word is after just, because that's going to be the key word. He's just what?
That thing.
Okay, but what makes him chayiv? Everything you're saying is good, but you were right there with one word.
Just the Torah is.
So I'm not sure that that's wrong, but that's I wouldn't call that the simple explanation, at least not the one that makes it closest to Shomrim. I mean, that the whole thing is the Torah. The Torah says a Shomer Chinam, this a Shomer Chomer, that. But to be a little bit more precise, yes.
Yeah,
Oh, just stretching. That's good too. Stretching is allowed.
The highest level of the shomer.
Good, good. You're speaking in you're speaking in good Lomdisha jargon. That's good. But you need to add one more word to make it coherent.
Responsible.
You're getting closer, but that was a word.
Advice.
Yes. Just give me an English word. Gentlemen. Close again. Just like other shomrim. You don't have to show off. Although if you do use that word, you have to give me a definition. But just like other shomrim, there is a what between the two people. I'm helping you here.
Agreement.
Who said agreement? Raise your hand. Be proud. Right there. So just like there's an agreement, you're letting me borrow it for free, or I'm watching it for free, I should say. Excuse me. Shomer chinam. I'm going to watch it for free. Okay, I'm willing to do that, but... You know, unless I'm really negligent, I'm not going to be chayev. I mean, you can't expect me to do you a favor while you go on your Pesach hotel program, eat 4 and 3 inches, and I'm watching your cat, and you're not going to give me anything. And then even if an ones happens, you'd want me, you know, Gnev and Aveda, I should be responsible? No, I mean, if I'm really negligent, if I kick your cat, that would be one thing. Or not even kick my cat. What if I just feed, you know, you told me exactly what food to give him, and I gave him the wrong food, some poshea, maybe. But, right, the point is there's an agreement. And generally, we saw a sliding scale. The more what the shoel gets, the more benefit the shoel gets, the more responsibility achrayas he's willing to give. So one possibility is, I would have said this is the simple one, but you can give or take or leave that. One possibility is a shoel is really similar to that. And therefore, what does it mean? Because kol hanah shelo, you're actually letting me use it. A typical shomer is not supposed to use the object. Because kol hanah shelo, you're letting me use it. And guess what? There is a free lunch. You're not even charging me. So you're letting me use it. And you're not charging me kol hanah shelo. I am willing to offer to obligate myself and complete responsibility, right? There is, it's like insurance companies, right? Certain plans will say it depends if X or Y happens, and certain plans it's just the blanket coverage. You need it replaced, that's the responsibility that we're willing to take. You're paying me. So here, the quid pro quo is not you're paying me, but is you're letting me have kol hanah. You're letting me have it. So as a result, in order to get kol hanah without even paying for it, I am willing meirosh at the outset to agree, to volunteer, accept achrayus even in onsen. So yes, it's true what we said a few minutes ago, that at the moment the lightning strikes, that's not the machayev, because I didn't do anything wrong then. What was the machayev? At the outset. But the outset, which is very different than typical, but at the outset, what is it? I agreed to this higher level. Okay? If we would understand it that way, then I would formulate it in the following. I would say that kol hanah transforms what I must do. Usually I must do X or Y. Kol hanah shelo means I must do even more because of that phenomenon. Yes?
Can we say that it's really that each of these claims, the onus, the mikdam of Avda, are really just padres in this case, that it's an agreement, that every shomer takes an agreement. I have a chiyuv to say harei al banecha at the very end, and then for this shomer, part of his agreement is that I have a pater, I have a way out if I say don't. This shomer.
I'm not sure. That's an interesting chiddush. Did you see that somewhere, or you? No, did someone? You're thinking about it. Okay, I'm not sure. It's an interesting chiddush. Gedalia is suggesting that instead of the way I'm formulating it, which is that from the beginning there was only an acceptance of responsibility for X or Y, you're saying that maybe, I'm not sure this is A, true, or B, what the nafmin would be, but it's intriguing, it's worth thinking about. Gedalia is suggesting, maybe it means, no, I did accept to the nth degree. It's just that I have certain get out of jail free cards in my back pocket, I can get an exemption if I use those. Interesting, okay, something to think about. Yeah?
When you say that Kohen actually transforms what he has to do, does it mean he transforms what the show has to do in terms of paying back the guy if something happens?
Yes.
That's what it is?
I think so, because I don't think it means what I'm sorry for having jumped ahead. What I thought you were going to say, it's a bad habit I have. I thought you were going to say, tell me if I'm wrong, I already did the aveira of interrupting you, but does it transform how much shmirah he has to have, right? There's nowhere else for him to go. He's already watching it the most he can, and yet he's going to be chayiv even if something happens beyond that. So that's why I said I think your first formulation is the one I would agree. Okay?
What was the one word you were looking for?
Agreement. Agreement. I think that's what I was looking for. Yeah.
But is he if you're chayav for onsin, is he really necessarily watching it more than everybody else?
No, that's what I just said. He has to watch it completely, but not more complete. Other people who are chayav at least.
I might argue that he, for his logic, he's watching it possibly less than anybody else because.
Psychologically, he knows he has to pay no matter what.
Yeah, he has to pay no matter
interesting.
What.
Okay, good. That's also fine. Exactly. So, which is why I answered that it's not that he's agreeing to watch it better, it's that he's agreeing to pay no matter what happens. Okay, so he is not transformed. He's the same guy he always was. But what he's willing to do, that is what Kalan Oshalo transforms. Kalan Oshalo, according to this, transforms what he must do. Yeah.
So, what Kadai said, is what he's saying that either I'm saying I'm only chayv in, I don't know, these 40%, I'm only chayv in these
I'll be back in a minute. Why don't you talk to...
I'm only chayv in these 40% cases, or I'll chayv in all cases minus these 60%. And if that is what you're saying, it's the exact same thing, just coming from a different perspective.
So I said, I'm not sure it's true, and if it's true, I'm not sure what the nafkamina would be. So that's something to think about.
Is that what you were saying now?
Roughly. Okay. Anyway, we have enough to do, but it's worth pursuing. It's intriguing. Okay? Anyway, all of this is one idea. But, as you probably have already gotten a sense of from the Gemaras you saw yesterday, what is an alternate way of understanding Shomer? I would say we could call it a more ambitious way of defining Shomer.
Yes.
Think so. Again, that would be more ambitious. I'm not sure it's true. What would be a more ambitious way? Yeah. Huh? You and I talked about this yesterday, right? You learned this last year. Good. Say a little louder so your friends can hear you. Right. Good. So there's some form of what I would say is miktsas bailus, some partial ownership. Now I add the word partial because he can't sell it. Right? He's not allowed to, he's not allowed to do anything he wants, but I'm going to pay, right? The owner, a true owner, can do anything he wants. But and usually we think of ownership as, you know, a zero-sum game, right? You'll get to, at some point in the next few weeks, issues of partnership. How do you understand the definition of partnership? But leave aside the possible, how to understand the relationship between co-owners, which is itself fascinating question, but let's assume for now we're not going to get into that, just one owner. Usually we assume it's a zero-sum game. If I own it, that means I own it. Like, I own you. You know, when you say I own you on the court, when you're trash-talking, you don't mean I can only get by you 50% of the time. I mean, if you do, then you're just a bad trash-talker. Right? If you're saying I own you, you mean I can get by you any time I want. Okay? For the record, if we were ever on the court, you would own me, but when I was 18, you should have seen, like every Rebbe ever, right? When I was young! But with me, it's actually true. But anyway, okay, not for now. Okay. Yeshiva High, captain of the varsity, 2 years, Silver Spring, go Knights. Okay, anyway. Your uncle used to come and cheer me on. He was not on the team, for the record, okay? Herzl Ginsburg was not a player. Anyway, but I loved him, he was my chavrusa. Anyway. The alternate possibility is that, no, in halacha, there is such a thing as a miktsas bailin. You can have ownership le'inyan. You can have ownership to a certain extent, or for certain halachos. So, before we flesh out the details and see where this comes in the Gemara, just to be, I wouldn't just say pithy, I think it's actually helpful, but it is also pithy, and therefore should help you remind you. If the first understanding is that Shoal transforms what you must do, this alternate possibility is that Kohana transforms who you are. Now, because it transforms who you are, it will transform what you must do. But that's far more ambitious. It's not just transforming because you have Kohana, so therefore you must pay back even an own sin. It's transforming who you are. Not what, but who. It's a change in the personal status. Kohana Shalom makes you a partial owner. Now, why does that make sense? Because if you're an owner of something, and act of God happens, lightning, any kind of ones, who suffers the damage?
You do.
Oh, but it's not fair, I do anything wrong. So at some point when you were younger, your mommy or your daddy should have taught you that, at least according to our way of perceiving things, life's not fair. Again, Klapei Shemaya from Hashem, it all makes sense. But in our world, we don't really see that. Life's not fair. But Lamaisa, but now I don't have my favorite baseball, my baseball glove, it's gone. There was a flood in the basement, I didn't do anything wrong. Okay, you didn't do anything wrong, no one did anything wrong. But now you don't have a glove. That's just a mitzius. Here also, kolanah shalom means a shol has to pay for own sin. Not because he didn't do all the shmiri he was supposed to. He did everything. Onus rachmana patri, it doesn't matter. But just like any other owner who suffers the loss when there is a ones, you as a partial owner also suffer the loss. In other words, according to this understanding, your chiv to pay back is not an additional step. It's mimela. It's built in. It's automatic. Once we say Kalnar Shalot transforms who I am, then mimela, as an owner, all losses will be accrued by me as an owner. That's not a second step. We don't have to say, I'm agreeing to be a shomer, shoel, and because you are giving me all this hanah for free, I will be willing to pay you back. Right? There's like I don't know if you have a period or a comma, but there's at least either two sentences or two halves of that sentence. Here you don't need any other thing else. Once you transform who I am, then automatically, mimela, I'll be responsible for own sin. It's not a chiddush anymore. Because as an owner, now, just want to say one thing. You see this a lot, I'll just methodology break for a moment. Very often, whether it's in Gemara, Rishonim, etc., so one of the ways to understand the difference between two shitos or two understandings, so often one has a bigger chiddush on the front end, but by taking that bold step initially, you can just crawl across the finish line. Then the bottom line becomes easy. Others say, well, that's too scary for me. I'm not willing to take such a huge leap now. Okay, but then you're going to have to stretch for the finish line. Right? Here, if we say it's, quote, just an agreement, that's a much more modest, conservative, typical way of understanding it, like the other Shomrim, they made an agreement, because you gave me X, I give you Y. But then we have to make a leap to say, and I'm therefore even willing to take a bigger sense of achrayus. Here, we say, no, the big jump is at the beginning. I'm not the chiddush, is I am an owner. Well, once I take that huge, bold first step, then it's a barely a baby step to get to the finish line, which is, okay, then I'm chayiv in everything. Yes, Yoni.
Is there such thing as like an avoidable onus? For example, let's say I want to rent a cow from you, right? And then I decide to take it on my boat, and then the boat like sinks. Alright? So technically it's an onus, because you couldn't have like...
So the answer, it's a good question. I think the answer is, it's definitional. If it's an onus, it wasn't avoidable. Now, what does that mean, wasn't avoidable? Yes, you could have stayed in the barn and not done anything and never taken it out on the boat. So the fuller answer is, anything that you're allowed to do, if then something beyond your control happens, that's a complete onus. Yeah?
How could we ever make a pater for Mason office?
Not today's year. Good question. That's our pater, can get paid the big bucks. Unless he tells me to give a shiur on that later, but then he'll still be the one getting paid the big bucks, but I'll give the shiur. But that's not for today's shiur. It's a good question, though.
So why would we assume this by a shoel and not a socher?
Well, a socher is not calling no shalo, is it? He's paying.
But then, right, but so in the first one...
The socher is not chayiv in onsen.
At first one we said, okay, so because he's called no shalo, so we have a bigger agreement.
Right.
But there's no, like, agreement here. This is just inherent. So why is that inherently true by...
Again, because a socher doesn't become an owner. A socher is a socher. I mean, according to this understanding, if this is going to distinguish between a socher and a shoel.
But so I'm just like, why does the, as in like, what is the fact that he's paying for a change? Like in the first case, it makes sense. He's paying, so he has to. He's agreeing to more.
What's the first case? What are you talking?
First case where the first answer we gave that.
First understanding is that it's
right,
an agreement.
Right, it's an agreement. So you're paying more, so it's a larger agreement. But
I'm not, again, I'm not paying more. You're confused.
No, you're
a shoel, I'm not paying anything.
Right.
I'm not paying anything, but because I'm getting my free lunch, again, the thing which usually doesn't exist, I'm getting a free lunch, therefore I'm willing to agree to quote-unquote compensate you.
Right, so we don't have that agreement by a socher because he's actually paying.
Exactly.
But
good.
In this case,
because kol hanah shelo, again, kol hanah shelo is not true by socher, he's paying. Kol hanah shelo doesn't mean he can do anything he wants. It means he's doing anything he wants for free. So that's not true by socher.
So why does the money change whether or not he owns it? The fact that the socher is paying for it.
Okay, so that's again what a socher is and what the limitations are. That's a good question. That's a good socher question. But here again, it seems by the fact, let's work backwards, right? Sometimes we can. There's like predictive lumdus and there's reconstructive lumdus. Second logical break, okay? To interrupt your regularly scheduled program. Sometimes, if you know a svara is so compelling, we can use that to predict nafkaminas. And if they're really, really good svara, that'll be ironclad. And other times it'll be plausible. But other times, if I'm looking at it going forward, I might not have reached a certain conclusion. That you would have been able to doche me, say, no, not necessarily, Rabbi, but you're right. But other times, the compellingness of the lumdus is reconstructive, or retrospective, looking back. Meaning, once I see a certain halacha, so I have to now reconstruct how did I get there. So I would say, as a short answer to your question, I'm not saying there's not a longer answer, but at least a short answer to your question is, this is an example of reconstructive lumdus. Meaning, I know there's a difference between shoel and socher on the payment. Right? If you were right, that even a socher becomes an owner, and the socher would also be chayv in onsen. From the fact that he's not, indicates that he's, according to this understanding, that he's not a partial owner. Does that help?
Yeah.
Would you have been able to predict that going forward? Maybe not. But working backwards, reconstructing from the facts that we do have, it just wouldn't, it just clearly doesn't work out. Yes. One more, and then we're just going to try to move on a little bit. We haven't seen any Gemaras yet.
Quick question. Is he a partial owner because the Kohen Shiloh? Or is he can his ownership come from the fact that he, I don't know if there's a nafkamina between the two.
Okay.
But does his ownership come from the fact that he has a responsibility to pay for onsi? Right? Is it that he's able his usage of,
I think it's tautological. I'm not sure the difference between those two. Because kol hanah shelo, the way I'm saying it, but maybe there's another way to say it. The way I'm saying it is because kol hanah shelo, therefore he is a mixas bailim, and therefore he has to pay even for onsen, like any other owner who suffers the loss, no matter whether someone did something wrong or not. You have to eat in the classroom, man.
Oh,
I made up that rule. I made up that rule. I mean, but I mean it. Okay. All right. So now let's see a few you Gemaras. Again, right now I think everything we did is good, but in order for it to be, in order to see if it's real, we have to see if it's grounded. So let's see a few Gemaras. Let's take a look at Sari Chesem at Beis, Sari Tesem at Aleph. Okay, so here we have the Mishnah. Right, the Mishnah on the bottom of Sari Chesem at Beis talked about the case of, right, the Mashil and the Shoel, and if he just, the Mashil just sent the object with Beno, Avdo, etc., etc., without any request or agreement by the Shoel, so then there's no responsibility until it gets into the actual ownership of the possession, I should say, of the Shoel. But, said the Mishnah, if either the Shoel asked that you send it, Biad Avdo, Biad Beno, blah, 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 or the Mashil offered, but the Shoel agreed, then what's the Chiddush of the Mishnah? When?
As soon as it goes to his possession.
The Mashal's possession.
Right. Or the moment he does what the Shoel asked him to do. Right? Now, what part of that is the Chiddush?
That there's not with the Shoel yet.
Excellent, right? Excellent. The fact is that I would have thought I'm not a Shoel yet until I get it. I still don't have Kol Hanah Shelo yet. I can't even use it yet. It's not in my possession yet. Okay? So now, the Gemara discusses this Mishnah, and we have, I want to focus on the opinion of Rav. Okay? Rav said in the third line, right, the question was, are we talking about an Eved Ivri, an Eved Kanani? But Rav basically said, Afilu Tema Beved Kanani. even though we're talking about the Mashiel's Eved Kanani, and even though, what did the Gemara just tell us, what's the din of an Eved? Yad.
Yad Eved
Kiyad Rabo, which means that when it's in the Eved's hands, as he's walking, you know, making his trek from L.A. to Teaneck to bring this cow, which, by the way, would take a while riding a cow from L.A. to Teaneck, even though, what's the din? Whose possession is it the whole time? Still in the Mashal's possession because it's his Eved, V'yad Eved Kiyad Rabo. Rav says, that's what the Chiddush of the mission is, you're still Chayiv. Now, how could that be? How could I really be Chayiv an Onsen? I don't have it. No representative of mine has it. And Adarabba, it's a representative of yours. It's still in your possession. It's still your Eved. So Rav says, Afilu tem Eved Knani Nasek Omrlei, he kisha b'makel v'hi tavo. Right? This is a din which itself, the Rishonim, I didn't give this for you to discuss, but it's an interesting din. But the din is, Rav plugs it in, that if you tell somebody, you know, just send that animal over my way, give it a little tap, and send it my way, hit it, so it should come my way, and then the owner does it at my behest, I already assume responsibility. So there, it's like not in anyone's quote-unquote possession, it's going, or so it seems. So the Rav says the commissioner is just a variation, is just a variation of that. Okay. So as the Gemara continues, various questions back and forth to Rav, then the Gemara has the line which, in my laziness at 2 in the morning 2 nights ago, I copied the Dibra Maschil of Tosfos instead of the Gemara, because this is one of those weird times where Tosfos has a slightly different gear, so I didn't chain it at all. But if for anyone who was perplexed looking for the line in the Gemara, my bad. Gedalia's Danishes are on me. That's the opposite of that was my free lunch. So thank you, Gedalia, for paying back my debt. But the line that I was looking for, obviously the key point which Tosfos picks up on, let's just use Tosfos' line for a moment. Kaven shiyatsusa mirushus mashiel nischayev shoel ba'onsin. Once it goes out of the rishus of the mashiel, right, hikishe b'makel, right? So what's the simple understanding of the Gemara? It's in the barn, hikishe b'makel, I ask him to give it a hit, and it leaves the barn, it leaves the property. Once it leaves the Rishus, I'm already Chayiv. And in essence, says Rav, that's what's happening in our Mishnah. So what, just prima facie, first glance, right away, what is surprising about that, or what would that indicate? Right? So you said correctly, apparently I can be Chayiv as a Shoel even before it gets to my possession. Well, what does that indicate? I'm asking a very specific question. What does that indicate in and of itself about the chakira that we're discussing about the two possibilities of shoel?
You didn't get enough.
I'm chayv and onsen already. That is a form of hana. I told him to do it and he did it. But how, again, but am I...
Not about yet.
So, say it in the affirmative. If I can be chayv before I even take it into my possession... I would say, again, just simple. Again, that's not a conclusion, but if we want to know the first indication of this chiddush, it's hard to say I'm already an owner at that point. I didn't even take possession of it. I didn't make a kinyan yet. How could I be an owner yet? So, on the other hand, I can volunteer to take achrayus for lots of things. That's the parsha of Shomrim. I'm not the owner, but I volunteer to take achrayus. So this, in and of itself, if we left the Gemara as is, at least according to Rav, I would say the simple reading of the Gemara is, that would indicate an extreme formulation of agreement. But yet it begs the question, just because it would imply agreement doesn't mean it makes sense. And so why should that be, or how could it be? So this is the implied question of Tosfos. As you know, right, sometimes Tosfos says Im Tomar, and they frontally tell you the question, but sometimes Tosfos just goes right into an interpretation of the Gemara. When Tosfos just goes right into interpretation of the Gemara, like he does here, that's, you know, that what's happening, there was an implied question. Clearly Tosfos is bothered by something. Sometimes he articulates it, sometimes he leaves it implied. I think it's clear that that is the implied question of Tosfos. How could that be? Okay, that's the taich. That's what the words mean. That's the simple implication of the words. But how could that be? That was bothering Tosfos. How could a person already become a Shoel? It's not really called an Oshalo. What you said is correct. I mean, in a sense, you would think, right? And it's not even my possession. How could I become Chayiv? And that's what's bothering Tosfos. Before we see Tosfos, Mr. Ginsburg, yes.
So, the whole idea of Hakisha B'makel, is it saying, like, he actually said, like, hit it and then it'll come to me? and the owner decided to the slave instead?
No, no, Hikisha B'Makel is an independent din, there's nothing to do with the slave. Rav is saying our case, which could even be true with an Eved Kanani, is equivalent to that. It's not saying that's not the Mishnah's case, it's an equivalency. Just like the Brisa tells us the din is, that if you tell the guy Hikisha B'Makel and he does it at my request, I already become chayiv then. So too, by me either asking you, send it with your Eved, or you willing to do it and I agreeing to let you do it, that's equivalent. Because you did what I asked, or I agreed to do what you volunteered to do, but Lamaisa, my Ratzon is being followed, as a result, fill in the blank. But the result is I'm chai, let's put it that way. Now, I think what was said before is correct. The simple understanding is, as a result, I accept the responsibility. It's hard to say, as a result, I became an owner already. But that's already us being fancy. But if you want to just in shot in the Gemara, as a result, I'm chayiv. It's not saying that is the case of the Mishnah, it's saying it's an equivalency. You thought it's crazy. How could it be that biyad that with an Eved Kanani I became chayiv already? He says, Rav, it's not so crazy. It's an equivalent to Hikisha B'Makel.
Where did we first see that Hikisha B'Makel? Where did that come from, that idea?
I'm not sure. I'm not enough of a bucky to tell you. I didn't look to see if it's in other Gemaras, but it's a Brisa in this Gemara. Okay, let's see Tosos. Okay, let's see Tosos. Okay, anyone want to read the opening few lines of Tosos? Now that you're back and you had your Danish, you're good.
I was good before I went.
So now you're better. Everyone with us, Sadi Tessam and Aleph.
Once it went out of the riches of the lender, the show was Chayav on Unsin. The Ha'ura, Nira, it appears of Ora.
Presumably, it's like
a. Demari, that we were talking about, she guesses on the Sitma, always Sade Rishabran, that it went out of his hands immediately with Simta.
Or Tide Rishusarabim. Right? And Simta is like a narrow alley, which it's clear from the continuation of Tosos that that's something, you know, bordering my property. It's not absolute Rishusarabim, but it's functionally that way. Or Tzidei Rishus Harabim, that's like the border of my property, right? Side onto Rishus Harabim. But here, the next phrase is the key one. Mashcha, but that's the same Sharesh, correct?
That it,
One more word.
That it is just as important as a...
I wouldn't say it's just as important. It's actually, it accomplishes.
It's just like...
It's equivalent. Now, stop for 1 second. You're reading well. But now, how does that make sense? What is Tosos gaining? Tosos tells us that when we said Ahikisha B'Makel, or for that matter, B'yad Eved, B'yad Revel, but it went right away from the barn, the Rishus Yachid of the Mashiel, into the Simta, or the Tzidei Rishus Harabim of my property. And that, says Tosos, is as if I did Mashicha, right? Mashicha is a form of Kinyan. So it says, if... So what is... I just gave you half that. I give you half the answer. What is Tosfos' Chiddush now about something going right from my property into the Simta, into the Tzidei Rishus Harabim? Well, it's already a form of Kinyan. Right? There's already some form of Kinyan there, or it's already a little bit. Just like when I do Mashiach, it's in my possession. Once it goes to the Simta, whatever, it's in my possession. One more line of Tosos. Just to contrast, the Tosos just makes his opinion even more clear. If the Parah went right away from the Mashiel into Rishus Harabim, not into some quasi-private property of the Shoel. So, excellent, thank you. So first let's make sure we understand what Tosfos said, then we'll understand the implication of it. Tosfos said that what's the case where when Hikisha B'Makel or whatever, right away I become the Shoel becomes Chayiv? He's talking about a case, just, you know, I guess it's wherever the Para was located in such a way that right after it did that movement, it went right into a quasi-private place of mine, I'm the Shoel, and that forms a type of kinyan, and therefore I'm chayav right away. But if what happens in the Gemara is the poshut way we would have understood it, I gave the example. It's going from L.A. to, I live in Teaneck, right? Hey, a lot of Rishus Rabim in between your private property and even my Simta and even my Tzidei Rishus Rabim, right? If it went into Rishus Rabim first, there would not be, that's not the din where I become Chayiv. Now that's a big Chiddush, because the Gemara didn't say any of that. The Gemara, by not qualifying where the Parah went, basically the simple understanding of the Gemara is, it doesn't matter whether it's Rishus Rabim, Rishus Yachid, Simta. Tosfos said no. In the first answer, the three answers of Tosfos, we're only going to focus on number one and number three. But the first answer of the first explanation of Tosfos of the Gemara is, that's not what's going on. I'm going to make a chiddush in the pshat. I'm going to have a little bit of a dochuk, a forced reading. I'm reading something into the Gemara that it's talking dafka. When do we say I'm chayev right away? If on the way it became, it died in ones and I'm already chayev, I didn't even see the par yet. Because it went directly from his property into some form of my property. Okay, now that, thank you very much, that is what Tosfos said. I have a question first. Okay? If questions, if you still have questions, I'm happy to take them. What is Tosfos accomplishing with this chiddush? What is Tosfos accomplishing? What changed in this chiddush? Yeah.
Well, by now saying that the shomer has made a kin, the shomer has made a kin, he's now that the real reason is because the shomer is an owner, even though he hasn't gotten enough from it, he's made the kin.
I'm going to say it a little. I think you're saying it a little too strong, but basically you're correct. That Tosfos didn't say that, right? And he's not explicitly addressing our question, but. Again, you always, the key to becoming a lamdan is learning how to read on two levels, right? We have to understand the words. We want to be faithful to the text. But again, I think, as I've said to some of you, my kind of mushal is, you know, the iceberg mushal, right? There's always the little bit that you can see. That's the words, whether it's the words of the Gemara, the Rambam, whoever. And then there's what's beneath the surface, what's underlying it, right? So, and as we know, with an iceberg, there's a lot more underneath the surface. It's also the more exciting parts. Okay? So, the surface of the Gemara was that somehow the Shoal could become Chayiv even before it came into his Rishus. The surface of Tosfos' first explanation, actually, no. If it went straight into Rishus Rabim, he wouldn't have been Chayiv right away. The Chiddush of Tosfos, again, he has a dochuk reading of the Gemara. When I say dochuk, you know what that means? Dochuk is a little bit of a forced. I'm not saying it's impossible, but you read a whole phenomenon into the Gemara. You know, I think that's fair to describe that as, you could say imaginative or creative, but that's the same thing. Right? It's not in the Gemara. So Tosfos did that. Why did Tosfos do that? So the simple understanding, still on the surface, is because he was bothered by the implication, the simple understanding of the Gemara. How could it be that a Shoal is already Chayiv before it came into Rishus? So the first answer to the Gemara is, fake out! It's not true. Ein Echanami. If it wouldn't have been in his Rishus yet, he wouldn't have been Chayiv. Why is he Chayiv? Because it's a unique, rare case where they live so close to each other that when it went right out of your Rishus, it sort of already went into my Rishus. That's step one and step two. Gemara Tosfos on the surface. What's beneath the surface? What we said and what you said. It's not in Tosfos, but I think it's implied. If the simple understanding of the Gemara was, as you said before, that if he's chayiv even before when it says Rishus, it must be what? Yoni with us. It must be that. That he's only chayiv because of an agreement, because after all, he didn't even become an owner yet. It's not even his possession yet. It's maybe even like, don't want to say stronger than that, that that's what was bothering Tosfos. How could it be? So if Tosfos understands Shoel as you became an owner, Kahal Hanash Shalom changes who you are, not just what you must do, so then the simple understanding of the Gemara would be very difficult. What solves that problem? His new reading of the Gemara. By telling me that Ein Echanami, the Shoel only becomes high when it comes into his Rishus, when he has, albeit unconventionally, but in essence, a Kinyan, just like Mashiach, then okay. So again, like I said before, when you make a huge chiddush on the front end, then on the back end it's easy, right? Here Tosfos' huge chiddush on the front end was to read something into the Gemara. Once you say that, then the actual psak of the Gemara is very easy. right? But so, but for Tosfos to say, yeah, the Gemara's obvious. Yeah, it's only obvious when you make your first leap. What would motivate Tosfos to read this into the Gemara? What would he accomplish with this? So I would say, Pashup Shad and Tosfos, at least in this first answer, is because he understands Shoal as a form of bilis, of ownership. Then the simple reading of the Gemara is really untenable. His answer solves the problem. Yes, yeah, in the back, did you have a question before? Do you still have a question? You had your hand up before.
Yeah. Is there other states of like property
taxation? There could be. Yes. No. There can be things like this. These are the two prime examples, but there could be. In different areas. I mean, in Eruvin, for example, right? We have different things called Malkum Patur and other things. It's not Rishus HaYachid. It's not Rishus HaRabim. It's something in the middle.
Like, is there Rishus HaRabim?
For our purposes, we would say yes. Again, maybe there would be a difference. Again, there's a different definition. I shouldn't even confuse you. There's a different definition, let's say, in Erevin and things like that than in Hilchos Shabbos and in Hilchos Kinyanim. But the answer for our purposes, I think, would be yes. Who was waiting patiently? Somebody on the side. Who had a question? Anyone on the side? Okay, yeah.
So, in the case where you're going from New Jersey to LA or something, or vice versa, if originally you're going to Rishus HaRabim, there's no Mashiach in Rishus HaRabim. But if I pass through Rishus HaRabim, does that mean there will not be Mashiach the entire way? Or does it just mean until I get to
It's a good question. Tosfos doesn't explicitly address that, but I would think that once you got to that, then you'd become chayav.
Does that mean my simta or does any simta?
No, mine.
Oh, so it's a little bit like kinyan chatzer, where
kilu. Yes, kilu. Right, kilu. Right. Even though it's not my chatzer yet.
Severely limiting the mission.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
I learned all about Shichat last year. This just seems to be a very weird way of defining Shichat and explaining how Shichat works. Because normally, according to Sos and a few other Rishonim, the only way the Shichat only works the second the transaction happens and not before it happens. Unless you're saying that the agreement is the transaction, which is kind of.
Again, here. I think this answer of Tosfos, even in the Gemara, I would say, but especially once you get to Tosfos, we're moving very much away from it's my shliach which is machayev me. Maybe because of what you said or for other reasons. In other words, at this point, according to Rav, it's still an Eved Ivri. Excuse me, it's still an Eved Kanani. It's not that it's my shliach and therefore I'm chayev. That's what Rav says, even if it's an Eved Kanani. Oh, Yad Eved Ki Yad Rabo. But once you do something, you sent it with the Eved, because I asked you to, that's enough. So that's already not Shlichus. Maybe you're right, that it wouldn't fit into Shlichus. Maybe that's why Rav doesn't even... But Rav doesn't need that. Maybe for Shmuel, you could think about that. But for Rav, I don't think that becomes relevant. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because once you say... Rav's not using the Shlichus as the basis. Rav's saying, it's an Eved Kanani. Your Eved Kanani is not my Shliach. It's Yad Eved Kedad Rabo. It's still you. And yet, Rav said he's chayev, because it's like Kikisha Bamako. How could that be? How could that make any sense? It's not my Rishus yet. So Tosfos, actually it is. Okay, let's see the third answer of Tosfos. Skip to the bottom. V'od yeh shlomar. I'll read. Gotta practice my reading. V'od yeh shlomar. D'hocha mairi afilu yotza miyad Rishus HaRabim. Which is, as a read of the Gemara, that is more or less likely. More likely. That's a simple understanding of the Gemara. I mean, it doesn't have to be, but it includes even that. Yeah, even that, right? Pashup Shat. So that's here. Tosfos is not making the big bold leap now in the first step. His first step is very conservative, right? Yeah, sure, of course, even if it's in right into Rishus HaRabim. But now come, once Tosfos takes, you know, he's like when he's going up for the big dunk, right? You take a few little baby steps to get your momentum and get your rhythm, and now Tosfos goes to his big jump. Hachamariya fil yatsam Rishus HaRabim. Why? With regard specifically to the responsibility of onsin, kanya meshicha b'rishus harabim. There is some kind of a quasi kinyan. And what does that mean? He continues, af al gav delo kanya l'inyan mekach. Even though, if you were asking me, not as a shoel, but I want to buy that para. And then, I'm Mosheich, right? I have the para come my way. in Rishus Harabim, would I become the owner at that point? No, Linyan Mekach, that wouldn't work. Sale, business, purchasing. But Le'inyan, but regarding Onsen, that doesn't matter, that's okay. And if you just take a look at the last line of Tosos, he reiterates, it's Kani b'meshicha li'ischai b'onsen, afal gav de lo kanya l'chazara. Right? Usually a kinyan, the main impact of a kinyan is what? No backsees. Right? Just because I gave you money, assuming that money is not a kinyan in a particular case, so you can give me back the money. Right? But once you make a kinyan, then there's no backsees. So that's what Tosos says. If we were talking about a real kinyan in terms of backsees, transfer of ownership, so then Mashiach Abishus Arabim, Kisha B'Makal, that wouldn't work. But Le'inyan owns sin for a Shoel, that's already enough. Now, this, on the one hand, is a simpler reading of the Gemara. If I was a textualist reading Gemara, this is the simplest reading of the Gemara. But it leaves us then with a Chiddush. Which Chiddush? The same Chiddush we initially said when we read the Gemara. That even though, yes, even according to the conclusion of Hikisha B'Makal, but Hikisha B'Makal is not a real Mashiach, it's still Rishus Harabim. That wouldn't work to buy it. It wouldn't work to buy it. So why does it work to make me Chayv and Onsen? So according to this last answer of Tosfos, what model do we seem to be using? The agreement model. Right? I wouldn't say he's definitive, but at least in his negative, he couldn't be more explicit. He says twice, right? You're not like an owner. It's not like Mekach. This wouldn't have worked for that. Okay, so then what is happening? The answer is, apparently, if you do what I ask you to do, or I agree to do what you volunteered to do, those are equivalent to the Mishnah, at that moment, I'm willing already to take responsibility. I'm not an owner yet. It's not in my rishus yet. But I'm willing to agree to take responsibility. Yeah.
If this answer really puts it in terms of an agreement, why even bring up the fact that you're going to call it a kinyan like this? Like, kinyan seems to imply some sort of.
Fair enough. It's right. Okay, I'm not sure. It's a good point. I'm not sure how to formulate that. I have to think about that. But again, even though the Tosos does use the word, both factually because we know it to be the case, and because he stresses it. He does make it clear that you're not becoming. It's not a mecca. This is not a real kinyan.
Like, it's not like a real baalis. But
maybe it's. I'm not sure if it's a borrowed term. I'm not sure. Okay. I'm not sure if he means that. How literally he means that. I just want to take one or two questions because we have to finish by 10 because then you guys have to prepare for Shira Klali, and I still have a few more things that I want to get to. Yes, one more. Yeah.
Just going along the question. Can't you say the partial kinyan that he gets is a kinyan onsi, meaning he's. As some terms, the kinyan he has to get is, and related to our next case.
I'm not sure because, and again, that's more like our limited ownership idea. But again, it's hard to see how. Again, I'm not saying it's impossible. You know, virtually nothing in life or learning is impossible. But I think it's almost impossible to imagine if we meant that in a real literal sense, if it's still Rishus Harabim. If you're telling me that there's, I didn't take any possession of it. I'm not saying it's impossible, but I think it's unlikely. Very unlikely. Yeah?
Could we maybe adapt, like, the Kinyan and Gezela? Because that's sort of, like, fits what it is.
We're going to get to that. Others do discuss that model. You and I talked about it yesterday. But I don't think this answer in Tosfos is saying that, because you wouldn't be a Goslin yet. The Goslin has it in his possession.
Brevity.
Yes?
I'll just say,
Okay, but how does that work?
Because
and that's kana chavero. Here it's kana mi. Magbia mesil chavero. I do something and then you get.
I hit the ka to cause it to move. That's a machine.
Okay.
Are you?
But that's the point. Tosfos says that's not a real one if it's in Rishus Harabim, according to the second answer. That's what he said. Exactly. That's what he says. It only works for one thing. Onsen. Okay? Let's do a little bit more, okay? I'm leaving apparently a lot for Rabbi Tarigan, but that's fine. Let's do a little bit more. So our first question was, when does Achrayus start? Right? Again, we have the basic Hakira. Is it quid pro quo, a super agreement, because I'm getting so much, I'm willing to give so much? Or is it that I became a little bit of an owner? So our first nafkamina might be, when does Achrayus start? The more we say, again, let's just to be misakem this whole Gemara and Tosfos in one sentence. The more you see that Achrayus starts before the Shoal takes possession, the more that indicates what? The more that indicates that it's an agreement model. The more you, and again, especially if you have to creatively read something into a Gemara, say that no, it only takes place once it's in the Shoal's possession, the more that indicates that you're dealing with some form of ownership, hence the need to make it as conventional as possible. Okay? That was number one. Number two, atypical forms of Hana'ah. You guys see this Gemara? This is a big boy Gemara?
Yeah.
Okay. Source number three there, Bav Metzia Tzadi Vavam Ad Aleph. The Gemara has a number of Ibayas. I just wanted you to see the first two of what I'll call atypical, unconventional Hana'ah. Right, so the Gemara says, what if he wants to borrow the animal for bestiality? That's a revia. Right? Now, it's not clear that the Mashiel knows that. Okay, anyway. But let's say that's why he was doing it. We know.
Why is that the case given of unconventional borrowing? Why can't it be like...
There could be cases, but we're not asking about that case. I'm not saying it's the only case. I'm saying that is the case. Or a second case.
How do you know?
That's what the Gemara is trying to apply.
Or the Gemara is not applying. You are all reading way too much into the Gemara. The Gemara is just asking a case. I call that, you know, I created this category. Don't blame Gottlieb on the Gemara. If you look, the Gemara gives a few examples. It's not that there aren't a million examples. The Gemara gives a million examples, right? But one example of unconventional Hana, the Gemara asks is, I'm borrowing it for those... untoward purposes. Oh, if that's too titillating for you, the second case in the Gemara was, Ibayilahu, why do I want your para? To show off! Right? Do me a favor, please. If I could just, you know, have your Lexus sitting in my driveway for like a week, you know, I promise, I'll even pay if lightning strikes. What are you going to do with it? Don't worry, it's okay. Right? But you're making a bar mitzvah and the relatives are coming from Los Angeles and, you know, in LA everyone drives a fancy car. So, or in Miami where my parents live, you know, Jaguars are as common, or Porsches are as common as Toyotas in a place like Miami. Right? So, okay, but now they're going to come, they're going to see that I don't have such a fancy car, so let me borrow it, that way I'll look rich. Okay. So, the Gemara wants to know, in both cases, would the Shoel be chai not? Now, the Gemara does use certain formulations in terms of the suffix, right? Do we need actual hana from the chayfetz, right? Is that considered hana from the para, or is that something too abstract? Right? That's the tip of the iceberg. But now I want you to think about for a moment those questions. The very question, again, seems to the first case a little too hard for some of you. Let's focus on the second case, right? How does that question, which I am dubbing unconventional Hana, how does that relate, the very fact that the Gemara has a suffix, how does that relate to our question, to the nature of Shoel? You understand my question? The Gemara itself has a suffix. If I'm only borrowing it to show off, is that considered enough of kol hanah shelo to make me chayv even in onsen? How does that suffix indicate one way or another the Gemara's thinking about the nature of Shoel?
So I think going back to our model, usually we say that the Shoel is kol hanah shelo, and that's why he would obey. So if you go with the whole like sliding scale, the Shomer is usually the shomer is getting all the benefit, but the shomer is getting all the benefits if he's responsible. In this case of like borrowing the Lexus or whatever, he's not really getting the benefit necessarily. So maybe he shouldn't be high. But in the case of the ownership, if you're owning it, right, it doesn't really matter what you do with it, it's yours. you could just leave it there forever.
So I'm not sure I understand what you're saying. I'll reformulate it, and then you fill in the blank. You're not off the hot seat yet. You put yourself on it, so it's okay. If you say that Shoel is an agreement model because you're willing to give me Kalana Shalo, I am willing to go where no man has gone before, where no Shoel is obligated to go. I am willing to volunteer and to agree to be Mechayev even if Onsen. If you take that model for Shoel, then it makes sense to include unconventional or not include unconventional. No, not if it's a Kalana Shalo. That's the Gemara. If it's an agreement model, because of the benefit I'm going to get, I am willing to agree to this extreme sense of Achrayas, I'm even willing to pay for Onsen. If that's the understanding of Shoel, then it should include unconventional Hana or it should not?
I would say it should exclude.
Exclude.
Yeah, because he's not actually getting the benefit. He's not getting all the benefit.
He's not getting all the benefit, but he is getting the...
Is an agreement to include?
Yes. Okay.
If you get to use this for whatever, but you have to, like, if you get to any form of them,
so I think I have, I can't always do this, can't always be politically correct and diplomatic, but here I would say I think you can make arguments for both of you. I think that the simple pshat is like what Matan said. That's what I think. Right? An agreement should be an agreement. If it's all based on, I want it so badly because I want to look rich, so I'm willing to do whatever it takes to get that. If it's an agreement, it's hard for... That's what I would say is a push-up shot, just to finish, to round it out. But if you tell me that I'm getting so much hana that it makes me into a miktsas owner, so maybe that requires... You could say this in one of two ways. Either the whole spectrum in a quantitative way, all the hana... Or maybe to maybe make it a little closer to the Lashon of the Gemara, I need some kind of primary hana from the actual object, from the gufa object, as opposed to just having it sit in my driveway and getting an clearly, for me psychologically, a real benefit, but a more intangible benefit. I think, Matan, that's what you were getting at?
Yeah.
That, those two halves. I filled in the second half for you, but you're willing to stand with me?
Yeah.
Okay. No, one second, let me just put... But if I'm not mistaken, and here... Yes, I know. So even though I would have stood with Matan, if I'm not mistaken, don't hold me to this, but I think I saw once the Or Sameach saying like you. Now, I would rather be with Or Sameach than with me. But I can't remember for sure, so that mitigates a little bit. I think the Or Sameach made an argument a little bit like you. In other words, that... You really could be docha this. It's not as maybe 100% as clear, because maybe I'm only willing to accept such. This is I think what you wanted to say. I'm only willing to accept such comprehensive liability if I'm getting so much. Again, it's either it's so much quantitatively or from the actual more conventional primary hana. Then I'm willing to have such an agreement. So maybe you could say it that way. But I would say again, either. It's hard to know. Maybe this is not the most mukhruch nafkamina, but I think that it is perhaps a relevant. I only have 5 minutes left, so let me just get one or two things in, and then I'm willing to stay, or as we walk back to this medrash, we can talk. One final, did you guys have a chance? I don't want to talk about it if you didn't see it. Did you guys see the Gemara in Sadi Dalad Mabez? The other one about if it's broken or it dies, or what about even if it's looted? You guys saw that Gemara? Okay, so the Gemara, let's just say over this Gemara, right? The Psukim themselves explicitly obligate a Shoel in the case of if it breaks, or in the case of a Shoel, it gets injured, if a Parah gets injured, or a Keli it breaks, or it dies. But the case of it being looted, of robbers coming, that is not explicit in the Pasuk. So the Gemara asks, the Gemara wants to know if that's included. Now, just based on the fact that Shoel is chayv b'onsin, what would you assume the halacha should be? Of course. What's the difference which onus it is? Right? An onus is an onus is an onus. But the Gemara does have that discussion. And the Gemara here, of course, what's most relevant is the Gemara's svara. What was the Gemara's svara for why maybe you would exclude looting? Who remembers the lashon? Excellent. Maybe you'll say, what's the difference? Shvura broke, Mesa died. It should even be if it's looted. Mal Shvura Umesa. I'm reading about halfway down in the wide lines on Salad Dalam Abate. Shekain Onsa. Disolik Adaitahu. Maybe that was only true there because Salik Adaitahu. We'll translate that in a minute. Are you gonna how can you apply that? Omar Bashvuya Shekain Onsa Delo Salik Adaitahu? Now what is Salik? So the pivot in this possibility in the Gemara is maybe it's limited to a certain kind of onsin, which are Salik Adaitai. As opposed to if it's looted, that's not Salik Adaitai. What does Salik Adaitai mean? Excellent. It was foreseeable. It was in Salik Adaitai. It was on his mind. In other words, when I borrow something from you, I know if I'm borrowing a para, it might break a leg. It's hot out there. It's a hard job to be a para. It might die. When I borrow it, I know that those are foreseeable accidents, even though it won't be my fault. But since they're foreseeable, the fact that I asked to borrow it means I'm willing to what? Finish the risk. And or use a word that we've been using, I'm willing to agree. But I never would imagine bandits coming to my little, Shangri-La on Earth. You know, we haven't had a robbery, we haven't had looters here in years. I never would have imagined that happening. So he says, so the Gemara says, perhaps that's not foreseeable. And therefore what? And therefore he wasn't on his mind when he agreed to be Mechayiv in Onsen. So I would say, stop there. And this possibility in the Gemara, again, you have a very suggestive formulation in the Gemara. That what's the basis of the Chiyuv of Shoel? Agreement. If you want to see Rashi, you know, earning his money, Rashi speaks in Lamdusha terms as well. The third wide line. Well, the last word of Rashi in the second wide line there, but going into the third, it's all four words. But again, if you have this background, the four words jump off the page. What does Rashi say? Who wants to read that Rashi? The end of the second wide line. You only have to read four words. Someone volunteer who hasn't read yet today. Someone I haven't heard yet. Going once. No, I heard you already. Who hasn't spoken? Come on. Did Fruchter volunteer? Trust me, I would not do this if it was hard. I'm not trying to make anyone feel bad. Who wants to do this? Who haven't heard? You? I've heard you now. Who wants to read this? Four words, come on.
Which Rashi is this?
The second, in the bottom of the page, the end, Sadi Dalam Abayz. Was I not clear about that? I think I was. Okay.
Oh, that's why.
I only want you to read four. No. I'm going to go, I will fight to the death over that one. No, it's only four. The end of the second wide line, towards the bottom of the page, Sadi Dalam Abayz, where you saw the Sulik Adaitahu. It was a foreseeable thing that he agreed. What does Rashi say? Four words, the first four words. I mean, he says more than four words, but I only want you to read the first four words. Hey, who's reading? Who volunteered? I'm still waiting. The whole shir, all right, together as one. 3, 2, 1. Va'al menas kein shayle. Al menas kein shayle. What does that mean? Al menas kein. Therefore, on that condition, based on that, shayle, he was willing to borrow it. He borrowed it despite knowing those things. Despite those foreseeable risks, he was... So Rashi, again, Rashi didn't change the Gemara there, but Rashi sharpens the Gemara, makes clear that at this stage in the Gemara, we're clearly working with an agreement model. Maybe he only had it; he only took achrayas for the onsim that are foreseeable. Right? There are onsim, and then there are onsim with the capital Aleph. Right? Not everything is foreseeable, even if onus means it's not in my control, but it could still be foreseeable. So maybe he only took responsibility for those. He only agreed for those. But something he could never even have imagined, that there should be looters in my beautiful, pristine neighborhood, which hasn't had crime in years, that I should... It's not foreseeable. But what's the maskana of the Gemara? The Gemara's maskana is, in the end, what did the Gemara say? In the end, he is chayiv. In the end, the Gemara says, he is chayiv despite that fact. Even in the unlikely or improbable event... he ends up becoming chayiv. So what's the conclusion of the Gemara? So here we have to be careful. The temptation would be, and it might be true, I'm not saying it's wrong, but the temptation is that the maskana of the Gemara was rejecting that Havamina. And that the Havamina was the agreement model, and the maskana is the ownership model. And therefore, even though you didn't agree to it because it was unforeseeable, you're still chayiv. That may very well be, and it could be that our whole hakira is the Havamina maskana of this Gemara. But anyone want to tell me, with this we will end, anyone want to give me a possibility? How would you be docha that? If you're really committed to the agreement model, how do you get out of this Gemara blowing you out of the water? How would you defend yourself from the maskana of this Gemara? The Gemara said they're not. That you can't do. I have very few limits on your creativity, but one of them is it can't go against the Gemara. Yeah, in other words, Matan, 2 for 2. I think that I will just rephrase what Matan was saying. Maybe what the agreement model is isn't like line items on a contract. I agree to X, Y, and Z. Because then the only things I put on the contract, everyone with me, give me one more minute. The only things I would put on the contract are those things that are foreseeable. And if we didn't foresee them, we wouldn't have put them on the contract. But maybe the agreement model is I agree to any onus. Right? The Gemara lulled us into an assumption that agreements are the things which we can foresee. And since I didn't foresee it, maybe the conclusion of the Gemara is not that there's no agreement. That it is based on agreement, but the agreement is I'll take care of it no matter what happens. Foreseeable, not foreseeable. So, again, I would say, again, the simple understanding of this Gemara, at least in its conclusion, is that it's rejecting it. But if you really were committed to the agreement model, you would not, I don't think, be checkmate. I think you could get out of that conclusion by just, as Matan said, reformulating the way we define the agreement. Just to mention, if you haven't seen it yet, you can take a look. I put a few sources actually on the sheet. Two Rashis, the Chino, the Nesivos HaMishpat. The Nesivos HaMishpat is one of the classical early Achronim. Rav Yaakov Lorberbaum of Lisa, Rav Yaakov Mi Lisa, and he wrote a very, very important commentary on the Choshen Mishpat part of the Shulchan Aruch, which is the area of Shulchan Aruch where Seder Nezikin typically is found. He wrote other important Svarim as well, but he's most famous, and therefore he's known as the Baal Nesivos HaMishpat. So there, if you take a look, if you haven't seen it already, it's Kedai. These are some prominent Rishonim and one very prominent Achron who do have very suggestive formulations strongly committing to the ownership model. Right? Comparing the, as the Sefer HaChinuch does, comparing the Shoal to a Lova. Right? I lend money to you, so of course you can have to pay it back, but Milva Lehotzah Nitna, not that money. That money is yours, 100%. You just have to pay back the equivalent of whatever the due date is. By comparing Shoal to a Lova, that's pretty clear that he's saying you own it. Or, as we were talking about before, anyone who compares us to a Goslin, right? The Goslin has a certain limited ownership, right? I.e., he's chayiv to pay back no matter what. So, anyone who makes these type of comparisons of Shoel to these things, or learning, as Rashi does, Goslin from Shoel, Shoel from Goslin, any of those comparisons would very much indicate that ownership model. But again, I think we've seen, at least in the Gemaras and that Tosfos that we saw on Tzadi Tes, that the issue seems to be at the heart of a lot of the either machloksim in the Gemara, the transitions, the Havamina and Maskana of the Gemara, and especially as Tosfos was bothered by, in terms of how could it be that the Shoal is already chayiv before it gets in his possession, the two ways Tosfos dealt with that may very, very likely be hinging on this fundamental question. All right, yishakoch, everybody. Baslachan shir klali.